out, so you'll have to use your Bible. You have your Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 6. Maybe if you don't have a Bible, hopefully you're sitting by a Christian that has one. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 6. Let's read verses. We're going to read a lot here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You found it? Say, I found it. All right. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. It says, "Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things that you have need of." Now, look at this. "Before you ask Him." God knows what we have need of even before we ask. But we are told to ask. Okay. He said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," our reverence to your name, "your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now let me just stop there and say, God intended for heaven to be a copy of, the earth to be a copy of heaven. Earth is supposed to be just like heaven. Now, we know it's corrupted because of sin, because of the fall of man. But God created man, what? In His image and His likeness, and we're to be like God in this earth. Now, if you will, drop down to let's go to verse 19. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven." Everybody say, treasures in heaven. "Where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Verse 20 again. "Where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, verse 22 is very important. "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good," or your eye is, if you have the King James, it says single, but "your eye is pure," or "your eye is healthy." Here's what he says. "If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light." When your eye is full of light, your whole body will be full of light. When your eye is healthy, when your eye is pure, we're talking about a spiritual eye here, not a physical eye. It says that your whole body will be full of light, or you will have revelation. How many know that we need revelation? Amen. We need illumination. We need inspiration, but we need illumination. We need to be able to see what the Spirit of God wants us to see. Amen. And so when our eye is single or our eye is healthy, then it puts us in a position to have revelation flow. And how many know there's no end to revelation? Amen. God can have something new for you every day. Amen. Now, he goes on to say in verse 23, he says, "But if your eye is bad," if it's unhealthy, "your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Now, he's going to tell us something in the next verse. He says, "No one." Now, some of you have read this verse before, but listen to it closely. He said, "No one can serve two masters." In other words, there's two systems. One system is the system of the world, and the other is God's, the kingdom of God. There's God's kingdom, and there's the world system. And he's saying, you can't have your eyes on both. You either have your eyes on one or you'll have it on the other. You'll either learn to love one and hate the other, or you'll vice versa love the world system and hate the things of God. Now that's what he's saying. So he's saying when our eye is single, now look what he's saying. He's saying our whole body will be full of light. We won't be double-minded. We'll be like the rich young ruler. And I'll just quote the verse to you because of time. We won't have time to look at all these. But remember, the rich young ruler came to Jesus that day and kicked them all. No, the rich young ruler came to Jesus that day and he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Good question. And Jesus told him, he said, "Well, you've got to forsake everything and keep all the commandments. Take up your cross and follow me." But the Bible says that he couldn't do that. He was very sad. In other words, he was trying to serve two masters. He knew what the commandments were. He said, "I've kept these things from my youth." But there's a big difference in having these things in your head and in your heart. Come on. That's what we're talking about this morning. So this man, what he lacked was revelation. Everybody say revelation. See, there's a lot of people in the church today. They have a lot of things in their head, but they don't have these things in their heart. They don't have a working revelation. They don't have light in their body because the light in their eye has been darkened, or they're trying to serve the system of the world instead of God's system. Now, the kingdom of God is more real. It is what we are after. It is what we are part of. It's what is on the inside of us. Come on, if you hear, say amen with me. If you receive revelation on healing, then you can receive healing. If you receive revelation on prosperity, you can receive prosperity. You don't have to be broke another day in your life. You don't have to be in debt another week in your life if you can get revelation on God's word how to be set free from those things. Amen. What I'm trying to say to you is this, that God's kingdom is on another level. And that's the level that you and I have been called by God to operate in. When we operate in the world system, and make no never minds about it, the world system is authored by and inspired by Satan himself. So it's just subject to fail, and it will fail, and it will come to end, but the kingdom of God will never fail. But in order to come to a place where you're in the world system, I don't care how much education you have or how many smarts you got working for you, you're coming to a low level compared to the level of the kingdom of God. And so God has called us up. Now look at verse 25. It goes on to say, he says, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life." See, we're coming into a time where there is anxious thought. The word worry there means anxious thought. In other words, there's a lot of things that are happening in our world today that are causing people to stress out. There's a lot of things going on today that are abnormal, like the weather patterns, like all the rain that we had, like wars that, you know, you're not able to completely win, and so on and so forth. And all of these things, see, constitute the fact that we're living in the last days. And Jesus said that we are not to take thought or to have anxious worry about these things. Well, when we worry about those things, it's because we do not have revelation working in our life that the kingdom of God is on a higher plane. And we are people that are part of the kingdom of God. Amen. We're in the world, but we're not of it anymore. We've been born again. If we've been born again, we're of a different kingdom. Come on, somebody say amen. And let me just say this. We are made for problems. We are made for problems. You say, what do you mean? I mean that we are made to fix this earth. Whatever is broken, God has made us to overcome. Our wisdom, we'll find out in a minute, comes from God, not from the world. And how many know that God, in His Word, has an answer for every situation? So I'm telling you that when you come up to the level of God, when you come up to the level of the kingdom of God, you come up to a place where not only is nothing impossible, but there's no problem that can overtake you or overwhelm you in God. You are able to handle anything, any situation, anytime, anywhere in God, in the kingdom. Amen. Are you getting that? So we need to understand that. The point is this, is that the enemy will try to put pressure on you to find another way out. Now, God has already made a way. Remember, with every temptation, God makes a way of escape. But listen to me, every time that you're faced with a situation, every time you're faced with a trial, every time you're faced with a problem, God has a way out, but the devil will make you think that his way is better than God's way. It'll get you to question God's way and get you over into doubt and unbelief. That's why the message that I'm teaching you today is very important, because the Bible tells us, and I'll just quote the scripture to you in 2 Timothy 3:1, says that in the last days, it says there will be pressure times. There will be pressure put upon people, pressure to make choices and designs. But listen, God has designed you and I to face any situation in life and overcome it. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. All right. Verse 30 says, now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now last week we talked about great faith. Now we see what little faith is. How many know if we're going to overcome in this world, we're going to need faith? Amen. I said we're going to need faith. Amen. Now, here's another thing I want you to get this morning. We are trained, we are brought up to use common sense. Amen. The only problem with that is that faith does not operate with common sense. Amen. Common sense operates on our intellect, upon our mind, upon our ability to reason. You cannot operate in faith using the intellect. Amen. You cannot operate in faith using your mind. Amen. To operate in faith and to be successful in faith, it must be from the Spirit. Common sense that says, you know, it's common to do this, but God wants us to know that we will never operate by faith as long as we're trying to operate faith from our mind. Now, in verse 31, it says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you need. He says he knows that you need all these things. Now, it is true that God knows what we need. But let me tell you why 75% of the world is living in poverty. God is not moved by need. Amen. If he was moved by need, there would be no poverty. Amen. There would be no need if he was moved by need. But God is moved by faith. Amen. That's why it's important, and that's why you're blessed to be in a place that teaches faith. Because faith is what appropriates or moves the hand of God. Amen. Amen. Good preaching. And when you learn to live by faith, then you're not tied into the world system. The world system drives into the gas station and goes, oh my goodness. And you drive into the gas station thanking God that he supplies all of your need according to his riches and glory. It doesn't make any difference. Listen, they're talking about milk going. It doesn't matter if it goes up to $500 a gallon. You'll just go into HEB and buy you 2 gallons because you've got more than enough. Amen. Now listen. It's when you learn to come out of the low-level system and come up to the high-level system of God. What we're going to find out is our source comes from God. Amen. If you belong to the kingdom of God, then the king supplies.
Amen.
Amen. Now, look what he says. He says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows what you need. He says, knows that you need all these things. But, everybody say but, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in all these things. See, God is not against you having things. But the rich young ruler's problem was that the things had him. And the things had him that he didn't want to come out of the low level of life. Because, listen, prosperity is not by how much stuff you have. Prosperity is not gauged on how much material things you have. Prosperity is gauged on the priorities you have in life.
Amen.
If your priorities are right and you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he said all these things will be added unto you. Amen. Now that's good. So it doesn't matter. See, if you come up to the kingdom of God, then you come up to a higher level of life. Now, let me read this out of the Amplified. I know we don't have the screen, so I'll just read it to you out of the Amplified. It says, but seek, aim, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given you besides. All these things together will be given to you besides. Now, I want you to go over to Romans chapter 4. I just kind of wanted to set that stage for you. Over in Romans chapter 4. Now, we were there last week, but let me tell you something again. You cannot exhaust this subject. It's a never-ending well. You can keep drawing and keep drawing and keep drawing. Amen?
Amen.
Now, look here. I want to show you something. If you're here, say amen.
Amen.
All right, Romans chapter 4, verse 13. It says, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world. Now, he's talking about who? Talking about Abraham. Everybody say Abraham. Okay. Abraham is what? The father of our faith. That's what it's called. That's what he's called. It says, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world. Now, what does an heir mean? What does an heir mean? It means you inherit, right? You're in line to receive something, all right? So it's important that you see that. That he would be the heir of the what? Be the heir of the what? Was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, the promise was given to Abraham and his seed. Now, listen to this closely. Not by keeping the law, but by faith. Everybody say faith. Let me give you another scripture. Just write it down because I know we don't have the screen. Galatians 3:18 says, for if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. So the promise of God comes by faith. Just the promise itself contains faith. Every promise that God has contains faith in it to receive the promise. Amen. Now that's good, isn't it? Now look down at verse 16. It says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, and not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, look again at verse 16. It says, according to grace. Now, I think most people, if you ask them, what is grace? Most people in the church, if they've been in church any long time, can tell you what grace is. Grace is the what? Unmerited favor of God. I say you can say it. Nobody answer me. You do reside in a teaching church, don't you? Okay. Say grace is God's unmerited favor. Now everybody should know that. Just like if you ask people, what's righteous? What's righteousness? Well, that's right standing with God. Now see, a lot of people know what grace is, but the problem is most people are not walking in the grace. just like most people can tell you what righteousness is, but they're not walking in righteousness. So what we have to understand is that grace is God's willingness to use His power on our behalf, even though we don't deserve it. God is willing to supply by using His power, even though we don't deserve it. Now, we have examples of that all through the Bible. Now, we are righteous because Jesus made us righteous. These promises come to you and I. The promises in the Word of God have become ours because of who we are. Who are we? We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so God supernaturally supplies by faith into His kingdom. Now what we will see that the kingdom of God is on the inside. So we have to sow into the kingdom. Our kingdom is not external, but it's internal. Now, when Peter, let me just give you an example here. You know, Peter was a fisherman. He was one of the apostles, right? And he was a fisherman, and they had been fishing all night. They were on the night ship, 12 plus hours, fishing and toiling all night, throwing their net, trying to catch fish, but they didn't catch any. And they were tired the next morning, and they were coming in, and Jesus was on the shore. And Peter began to hear the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to Peter and said, Peter, launch back out and throw your net over there into the deep. Now, natural common sense says, I am a fisherman and I know what I'm doing, and you do not catch fish with a net in the daytime. But Peter, because he allowed the Word to speak into his life, got revelation from the Word and said, nevertheless, at your Word, I will do what you said. And how many know he threw his net where Jesus said, throw the net, and he caught a whole boatload of fish, a sinking boatload of fish, called his partners over, and it sunk their boat too because the boats were filled up with fish. That is a supernatural supply from God. Are you getting this? So it's like God, see, has a whole nother level in which He draws from. God can make things appear, and God can make things disappear. Now listen to this. We know that Satan's kingdom is a counterfeit. We know it's a counterfeit because everything he does is passing away. Everything he does is corrupted. Everything he is and stands for is deteriorating. Come on. But when we latch ourselves, see, to the kingdom of God, there is no end to the supply. We have a kingdom that is everlasting. Are you listening? It's not like we're not in the world. We are in the world. In fact, when Peter went to Jesus and said, look, we've got a problem. What's the problem, Peter? Do we pay taxes? Why, certainly you're supposed to render to Caesar what is Caesar's. And unto God, what is God? Well, we got a little problem, Jesus. We don't have the money to pay our tax. Well, Peter, you like to fish, don't you? Oh, yes, Master, I like to fish. Well, go fishing, and the first fish that you catch, open his mouth and take out the tax money and come pay the taxes. Now tell me how quick and how able is God to meet your need supernaturally when you hearken to the Word of God. I'm trying to get this instilled into you that we operate on a different level. We operate in a different kingdom, and we operate in the system, not of the world, but the system of God. And God can do it just like that. God can make it appear. There is no limitation in God. But it's not common sense that tells us these things. It's not your flesh, see, that will tell you these things. And so what does the devil do? He tries to get you to find another way of doing it instead of God's way. Amen. You get into a problem. You get into a financial situation. What do? You go down to Stripes and you buy a lotto ticket. I mean, I was putting in gas the other day, and there was, you talking about cars, there was a guy with an old broke down car. It had three tires and one of those little tires. It didn't have a back bumper. One of the headlights was bashed in. He had to leave it running because it didn't have a battery in it while he was pumping gas. And yet he come out of the store with about $30 worth of lotto tickets. Now, when I was a baby Christian, now listen, let me just tell you a little testimony here. You know, when you're young in the Lord, just like a baby will eat bottle caps. Baby will put anything in their mouth, right? Well, you know, when I didn't know better, I thought I heard God. Just go down and buy a lotto ticket. And so I was like everybody else, okay? Get in front of the TV, watch those balls, and I didn't win. And I got a revelation. If it was God that was telling me to do that, I would have won. But I didn't win. So it must have not been God. And then I started doing some research and found out that God is not a gambler. Come on, somebody. God is not a gambler. God is not a God of chance. Amen. God is the God that knows how to reach into His kingdom and supply every need that you have, but you've got to do it by faith. And faith comes from the heart. Faith comes from the spirit. And not the head. All right? Now, let's go over to some other things here because I want you to get this. There is no shortage in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. There is no shortage in the kingdom of God. God is your supply. Turn to James chapter 3. You're not on welfare. You are faring well. Thank you. You're living in a day where yesterday's methods, now listen to me, are not going to work like they used to work. There's going to be things that are unexplainable today that super or advance the technology. I know technology is advancing faster than it ever has, but how many know there's still incurable diseases? Just like in the day of Jesus, remember, there was a woman that had that issue of blood for many, many years. But she went and she touched the hem. Come on. She touched the hem of His garment and she was made whole in that very same hour. There's things, see, that money can't buy. There's things that doctors can't fix. But there's always a fix. There's always a cure in Jesus. And so we've got to come out of this low level of thinking that the world system, because the devil is always putting pressure on us to do the way the world does it. But we are not of the world anymore. Have I got that point across to you? What we have to understand, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word becomes whatever you need. God said that I will supply both physical and spiritual. The Word can become your car. The Word can become your house. The Word can become your healing. The Word can become your prosperity. The Word can become your joy. The Word can become your health. The Word can be whatever you can believe God for it to become.
Amen.
But we have to operate how? In faith. In faith. Everybody say faith. So our provision, I'm trying to get this thing. See, we're independent of what's going on around us. Our provision comes from God. Our source comes from God. It's not our paycheck. You think it is, but it's not. God supersedes your paycheck. We have been called by God to advance the kingdom, and He's going to use us. Say us. To demonstrate this in the earth.
Amen.
He is. But He's going to do it with people that learn to operate in faith. That's why it's so vital that you understand that we're living in a time, we're living in the last days, that you're not going to be able to figure these things out through the mental realm. They're on a higher plane. And when you're on a higher plane, you're operating on the plane of God. Amen? You're operating from the spirit, a spiritual level, rather than a mental level. The world's sitting there laughing at you. The world is making fun of you. But you know what? You're walking in victory. You're walking in freedom. You're walking above those things because you're not walking the world's way.
Amen.
Hey, come on, somebody. The enemy does not want you to use words. See, what you have to learn is that people are looking at your life. And you know what? You're going to have a testimony. You're going to tell them how you made it through the day. You're going to tell them how you got that healing. You're going to tell them how you got that new car. You're going to tell them how you got where you are. Amen. You're going to say, can I have about 5 minutes of your time? And you're going to preach to them. You're going to preach to them and you're going to tell them what the Word of God says. Now, they're either going to believe it or reject it, but if they believe it, then they can receive it. Amen? And they can get the same thing that you got because God is no respecter of persons. But the enemy doesn't want us to use words. What we've got to learn is to speak the Word before we ever see it. You got to lay your hands on somebody that needs healing before you ever see the healing. But then you got to give God thanks. You got to be bold. See, righteousness is boldness. Boldness speaks what God says. Righteousness says what faith says. And faith obeys the Word of God, and it does not go by what it feels. It doesn't go by what it sees with the eye. It doesn't go by any kind of, you know, people think the Holy Ghost is goosebumps. No, it's not goosebumps. But it's being on a level that you can see what God wants you to see. And do what God wants you to do. And so we've got to be bold enough in righteousness. That's what righteousness is, because he said, seek first what? The kingdom of God and his. If righteousness is not part of our lifestyle, then we block faith from working. That's why he said, you've got to seek both the kingdom and righteousness. And then all these things will be added. Amen. Have you found James chapter 3? Say, God is my source. There is, I'm trying to get this out. There is no shortage. Come on. There is no shortage in the kingdom of God. You're in a place where when you let the Spirit produce what you need rather than your own ability. Did you hear what I just said? When you let the Spirit of God produce, meet your need rather than you trying to do it in your own ability. Your own ability will just carry you to a point. But the Spirit is no limit. We limit God when we're doing it in our ability. Thank you for that enthusiasm. Now let's look. James chapter 3. Did you find it? Okay. So I'm just trying to tell you, things are changing fast in the last days. There's going to be things happen that we can't explain, but God has given us a way out of these things. Now look at verse 13, James chapter 3. Who is wise in understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your where? He says, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is, now look at this, earthly, sensual, and demonic. Earthly, sensual, and demonic. In other words, it always appeals to your flesh. See, your mind has been geared to communicate with the sense realm. Touch, taste, smell. So the mind, the intellect of man is always dealing on an intellectual plane of what it can see, smell, taste, or touch, or feel. But the level of God is a spiritual level, and spirit must communicate with spirit. Okay? Now, these are all separate teachings, but I'm just trying to give this thing. Verse 16 says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom, now look, the wisdom that is from above The kind of wisdom that we're singing for is what? First, pure. Everybody say pure. Then it's peaceable. It's gentle. And it's willing to yield. Did you see that? It's willing to yield. In other words, did you notice? Well, I didn't show you the scripture, but when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and Jesus told him that you have to forsake these things, take up your cross and follow me, he put his head down and walked away sad. See, the word is willing to yield. In other words, if you want to receive the word will let you receive it and will bless you by it. But if you don't want to receive it, it's not going to chase you. It's not going to follow you. Jesus didn't say, hey, wait, I got something for you. No, he went away sad and Jesus let him go away sad. In other words, if you reject the word, it will walk away from you. And you will be the one sad. And you will be the one to stay sad. Are you listening to me? It's willing to yield. Full of mercy. Good fruits. Without partiality. Without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Praise God. So it's like we don't go by, you know, what we feel or what we see or what it looks like. We go by what the Word of God says. Amen. Now turn quickly because I'm running on fumes here. In 1 John chapter 5. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's like lights flashing. You know, if these lights started blinking, we probably got what? A short. So what does a short mean? It means some of the power is going somewhere else. So get your eyes off of the flash. Get your eyes off of all the hype. And put them on Jesus. Amen. Put them on the Word of God. Now look, here's what it says. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatever is born of God. Come on, read it with me. Whatever is born of God. How come some of you don't bring your Bibles to church? My goodness gracious, you need this stuff. This is powerful. This is something you've got to cut your teeth on. This is what you live by. This is what you fuel yourself with. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Your faith. Our faith. But our faith comes from who? And he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. How many believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen and amen. All right, turn over. You're right there close. 1 Peter. Let me get all these scriptures in. 1 Peter chapter 3. Now here's something for you to write down, okay? God is taking us into our promised land. All the promises we've already seen in the Word of God belong to us because we're heirs. God said he gave Abraham the whole world. That's what he did to Adam, did he not? Adam had all the garden where everything was operating in perfection, but he lost it through sin. But thank God for Jesus. Jesus brought the garden back. But the garden is not outside now, but where's it at? The kingdom of God is within. So we have to sow into the garden. We have to sow into the kingdom. Now here's what I want you to see. We have a heavenly bank account. Now listen to me close. Don't miss this part. We have a heavenly bank account. Now what do you do with banks? You put deposits in and you make withdrawals from. If you don't put deposit in, you can't take withdrawals out. Everybody understand? If you understand it, shake your head and act spiritual. All right. So we have been given, listen, a mighty heavenly bank account. Because we are part of the kingdom of God. We're not part of the world system. Now, you can be a part of it if you want to be. Okay. So, our kingdom is not of this world. All right? Now, look at this right quick. It says, let me read this to you. Blessed, I'm in 1 Peter chapter 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. Shout inheritance. incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Oh, now he's not talking about when I get to heaven. He's saying that it is in heaven right now. It is reserved for you and that it will not fade away. You have been given a personalized account in the kingdom of heaven. Now, oh, Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. Hebrews chapter 1. I want to get all these scriptures. I got 5 minutes. Hebrews chapter 1. I'm learning to be on the clock. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1. If you're here, say amen. All right. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Now, he said, but to which of the angels has he ever said, set at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstools? Now, verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits? Are they not all ministering spirits? Who are the ministering spirits? Come on, somebody. Angels. Who are the ministering spirits? Where are they at? Wait a minute. Where are they at? Who are they ministering to? Who are they ministering to? Well, if they're ministering to us, they can't be in heaven. Because we're not there yet. We're here. Come on, we're here. So where are these ministering angels? Now, you can't see them. You can't see them. But they're there. Now, look what it says. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will what? Inherit salvation? Amen. That's us. Amen. What are the ministering spirits for? To minister to us. To serve us. Now this is important that you see this. Because when I speak a word, oh man, Hebrews, it says, just read on. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? Now, here's what I'm sharing with you. When we speak the word, in fact, we got to look at this. We got to look at this too. Psalms 103. I'm sorry, I'm going fast, but I'm trying to get through. Psalms 1. Look at Psalms 103, 19 and 20. Are you there? Amen. We got to do it quickly. The Lord has established. Come on, I hear pages turning, but look at it. The Lord has established His throne in heaven. That's why you can't depend on the screen to work. Okay, you need your Bible. Learn to turn to the Scriptures. The Lord has established His throne where? In heaven. And the kingdom rules over all. Verse 20 says, bless the Lord, you His angels, who what? Who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of the Lord. Now this means that we have angels assigned to us. The moment that you and I became born again, we were assigned angels. And what are these angels for? They are to minister to us. Now look at this. They hearken, though, to the voice of the Word of God. So, if I'm speaking things that are contrary to the Word of God, then my angels are sitting there with their arms crossed because they are only going to hearken and they're only going to obey the Word of God. So if I'm not speaking the Word of God, my angels are not working. If I'm speaking the Word, this is simple, folks. If I'm speaking the Word of God, then my angels are at work for me. They're ministers to those who are heirs of salvation. I'm an heir of salvation. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, when I say things like, well, I can't afford that. You have just negated the whole thing of the kingdom of God. Never say never. Never say I can't. You can say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because when you speak the word, when you find the promise, faith is in the promise, and the faith of God goes into the realm of the unseen. You can't see it. You can't see the angels working for it, but you can see the manifestation when it brings it back into the natural realm. That's how you and I are to operate in faith. But listen to me, listen to me. Oh, you will never, never be able to make a withdrawal using your flesh.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
And if you're not a tither and a giver, just forget everything I've said up to now, because you have not made any deposits.
Amen.
But listen to me. Flesh and blood shall not what? Inherit. Flesh and blood. Let me tell you a revelation. I very seldom go back and listen to my messages because I'm preaching them, right? But now I'm listening to them because I'm having to edit them and get them corrected for the internet. And I've been beginning to discover. I began to discover I'm preaching a little bit long. The Sunday morning message last week was an hour and 13 minutes. Now, I know you that are spiritual don't mind. The Sunday before that was over an hour. The Wednesday was an hour and so. I said, oh, man, I'm preaching too long. So something told me to get a timer. Because, we're trying to build the church, right? We're trying to build the kingdom of God here. And the problem is, fleshly people are not going to sit and listen to something for an hour. I don't care how good. And it's good stuff, because I'm listening to it, and I'm sitting there, whoa, I say, whoa, wow. Are you here? Did you cut the tape off for this part? Now listen to me. I'm serious. Flesh and blood is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So we have to appropriate everything that we receive through faith.
Amen.
Faith is not a head thing, but it's a heart thing. A man thinketh in his heart.
Right.
Now, what I was going to read to you is in the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel. And I'll close with it because I want you to see that. And I'll respect the time frame. I really will. I'm trying for 45 minutes of message. Everybody say, pray for him. I'm not trying to cheat anybody out of anything, but I want you to, you see, you can only put so much water in a sponge, right? And I don't want it to just to fall off because there's so much in this. This is such a vital message for you to get and you hear. And I just don't want you to get so much that it starts, okay. But you're not really listening. Now, what have we said? We said that we have a heavenly bank account. We can make withdrawals from our bank account if we've made deposits.
Amen.
What's going to bring those to us? What's going to work on our behalf? It's angels. We have angels. We need to talk about, maybe preach about and teach about our ministering angels that are assigned to
Amen.
All of us. That are working. You can't see them. Right? But it says right here in the book of Daniel. You know this story, but let me just again tell you. It says that Daniel began to seek the Lord, and he fasted for 21 days. He went on a Daniel fast. In verse 2 and verse 3, it says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. He said, I ate no pleasant food, nor meat, nor wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself with all these things for 3 whole weeks. And then verse 7 talks about he saw a vision, okay? And terror fell upon them. He said he saw it, but the people couldn't see it. So on and so forth, verse 8 and verse 9. And then verse 10, it says, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hand. And he said to me, verse 11, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking for the word to me, I stood trembling. Verse 12, now look at this. Now he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. When did he hear the words? The first day that he spoke them. The first day. What does the devil try to do? Is to get you to find another way. Hello. The devil wants you to look for an alternate route using a lower level. But you are of the high level.
Amen.
You are of the kingdom of God. Now look what it says. It says, I have come because of your words. And he goes on to say in verse 13, because angels hearken to the words of who? Huh? The word of God. The word of God. And so it says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, there's another angel. See, the Bible is full of angels. See, Michael come to help, and they defeated the prince of Persia, which represents the devil. And he says, now I've come, verse 14, to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. So the angels hearken to the voice of God. Now, what we have to do is find the promise. Now, let me give you these five things here. I'll give them to you quickly. You can write them down because you need to know these things. Don't go by what you see. Don't go by what you feel. Number one, claim and decide what you need. Claim and decide what you need. We're talking about name it and claim it for those that don't understand it. You know why? Because we have a heavenly account. And all things have been given to you. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Hello. He owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. But what can God do with a bunch of cattle? Hey, what can God do with chickens? What can God do with a gallon of gasoline? Are you here? All things are what? Are yours. Okay. Number two, you got to lay hold on it by faith. You got to lay hold. That's why it's important that you learn to walk in the Spirit. Because if you're walking in the flesh, you're going to be down on the lower level. Hello, somebody. Amen. You're going to be operating in an intellectual world, the system that operates through the intellect. All right? Number three, you got to get into agreement with someone who has faith. Find somebody who will agree with you. When I said a while ago, will somebody agree with me for $2 million, $2.5 million? Well, I hope there was all of you saying I'll agree.
Amen.
Amen? But you got to find somebody that has faith to agree. Then number four, you've got to bind the devil and all of his forces because what? You have the ability to bind and loose. Come on, somebody. You have the ability to bind and loose. You bind the devil and what? You loose the angels to work on your behalf. As long as you're speaking the word, the angels are working. As long as I'm speaking the word, the angels are doing my spiritual warfare in the heavenlies. Are you with me?
Amen.
And then last, but certainly not least, is we've got to learn how to praise God and give Him thanks before we see it happen. Now, you know that, but a lot of people are still stuck in prayer mode. We pray, we pray, we pray, but we don't see the results because we're still trying to figure it out intellectual. That's why it's important to pray in the Spirit. Go on your last confession. What do you mean, Pastor? Go on your last confession. Just like when Jairus came to Jesus because he wanted Jesus to go to his house and heal his little daughter who was lying on her deathbed. And Jesus said, I will. And Jesus turned around and took off towards Jairus' house. But that woman touched him. Remember, the woman that had the issue of blood came and said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And she got him distracted. And he ministered to her. And she got her healing and began to testify. And while she was there testifying of what Jesus done, here come the servants of Jairus and said, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter's already dead.
Amen.
And Jesus looked at Jairus and said, shh. Don't say nothing. I'm rolling on your last confession. You said, come heal my daughter, and it's my will. Are you here?
Amen.
Don't let the devil cause you to use another way. Don't go down to the low life. Stay up in the high life. Stay up in the kingdom of God. Come on. Come on, stand up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise
the problem, see, is lack of revelation.
That's right.
Amen. I'm working on that timer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A lack of revelation.